starting a new series I'm pretty excited about. The I Am series. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And just some awesome things that Jesus states about himself that sometimes we may take for granted. But Jesus has said them, and what he says changes us, which is really, really cool. Well, I had the privilege about 12 years ago to take a trip to North Africa. Some of you may have been there before. And as I was there, much like places like Jerusalem or other places like Egypt, you happen to see things you don't normally see every day in North America. And images like this. That is a little blurry. There's another one there, that'll come up after. This is a shepherd leaning up against a rock, looking after his sheep in the country of Tunisia. And dressed very biblically, there's another one. It's a little bit harder to see, but a larger flock. Fellows dressed a little more modernly. I think he's got some blue jeans on. But this particular incident was very, if you want to back up, yep, was very interesting as I was walking along and walking through some old Roman ruins. And as I was doing that, saw this picture that just basically comes right out of the Bible, right to you, and saw him walking along, and all of a sudden, he gets distracted, and he's getting around, and he's going like this, and out of his cloak, he pulls a cell phone. And pretty funny, he's got his shepherd's staff, he's got everything, and he's talking on his cell phone. What an interesting picture. What a difference, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about the Good Shepherd next week. We're going to kind of, in John chapter 10, you can't talk about the gate and the shepherd, you know, separately. They're both together. So we're going to look at that. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the gate, you are the Good Shepherd, you are the light, you are the great I Am. And we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our lives. We thank you for images that draw us to yourself, and we ask that as we are reminded of these truths and go look at them once again more carefully, that our relationship with you, our identity in you would grow, would just be something that we'll be encouraged by, that as we get to know you more and who you are changes who we are. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, start reading at verse 1, going to verse 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Well, before we get into I Am the Gate, just thinking a little bit about this characteristic of, and this statement, I Am. This is not original to the Gospel of John. This goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We read these words of Moses. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Do a little research into the Hebrew roots of that name. I am is Yahweh or Yahweh or Jehovah, or oftentimes as it's translated in the Hebrew, the Lord in all capitals, the Lord. I am who I am. Just thinking of that, not only from a mental perspective of understanding the name, but just an emotional reaction that Moses would have had to this burning bush and to the voice of the Lord. And then fast forward to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 58. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Whoa. Eternal. Forever. The eternal Son comes and becomes the temporal. Becomes finite. The infinite takes on the finiteness of humanity. I am. Powerful words for us to think about today. And that we can be changed in who we are by knowing Christ and his statements, his characteristics. We can know I am. And so through this series, we're going to take a look at all the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John and what those look like. Going to kind of jump around a little bit. But I think it's important for us to note here, because Jesus talks before he says who he is, brings this picture of the gate, talks about a voice. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Put your mind for just a moment into the beginning of the 20th century. It's Jerusalem, just outside Jerusalem. Let's just say Bethlehem. There's some Turkish soldiers who are sneaking around at night, stealing sheep, taking them away. Because, you know, most of Israel's attention and around is centered on Europe, centered on other places. So they're stealing these sheep. They get them all rounded up. And they set a guard at the entrance to the pen of the sheep. And the shepherds don't seem to be bothered too much by this fact. They wait till daybreak, and they start to call. And each one has their own individual call. And as the first one calls, the sheep come, the first flock of sheep. Go right past the soldier, don't even care that he's there, and go right to the shepherd. The second, the third, the fourth flock. So it doesn't matter if there's soldiers there, it doesn't matter, because the sheep don't respond and didn't respond to these soldiers. They weren't intimidated by them. They responded to the shepherd's voice. Voice in the Greek is phone. It appears 139 times within the New Testament and has at least three ideas depending upon the context. It means either sound, voice, or language. Sound, voice, or language. The people of Jesus' time would be very familiar with hearing God's voice, or hearing about that concept, that the whole Old Testament is filled with people hearing God's voice, priests, prophets, kings. So when Jesus talks about a voice, and of course they would be very familiar living in an agrarian culture, of sheep and seeing a shepherd calling out to his sheep. But how does Jesus, our good shepherd's voice, come to us today? What does that look like? Well, I go to Nikki Gumbel, who is the founder of the Alpha Program, And he gives us five CSs. And I don't have time to unpack all of these, but I think a lot of them are very clear and very simple for us. First of all, commanding scripture, the Bible, the compelling spirit, the Holy Spirit, the council of the saints, the church, common sense. Who thought about that? Does God speak through common sense? Parents of teenagers? I'll let you think about that for a second. Circumstantial signs, providence. And just a regular practice of abiding in him helps us to hear God's voice more clearly. Talked to you a few weeks ago about prayer and praying in the Spirit and the promptings of what that means. And that sometimes maybe, you know, you maybe get a prompting to have a name come to your mind. You pray for that person. That's God speaking to you. It's God's voice. You're supposed to stop and talk to somebody. You know, doesn't necessarily mean that that person is going to be saved or going to have that salvation experience. They may, but that you're prompted. It's God's voice. You say, well, you have to be careful about this whole topic of God's voice. And I agree, we need to be very careful because many voices come at us. Many circumstances can guide us in many different directions. So I think that these five things, and especially the first three, need to be in line. Commanding scripture, compelling spirit, and counsel of the saints, or counsel of believers. That when you hear something, sense something, it has to line up with God's word. If it doesn't, then just throw it out. Compelling spirit, that the Holy Spirit identifies with our spirit. Paul talks about that in Corinthians. And the council of the believers, council of the saints, that not just any person, but someone you trust, someone who has that faith that's deep, that's grounded, that's true. Hearing God's voice, hearing the voice of our shepherd. He calls to us through his word, to be able to walk out with him, to be able to draw close to him. Greg Mate, in the book I Am Changes Who I Am, says this: your ear determines who is your shepherd. Many of us, including myself, have slowly or unknowingly chosen to follow relentless shepherds who are driving us instead of leading us. What does he mean by that? Well, there's many voices in our world today, isn't there? And there's been some techniques in modern day shepherding that are a little different than those in biblical times. And biblical times, it was more the shepherd would lead the sheep. Now you have those lovely border collie dogs, and you have them, they're driving the sheep, right? And they bark at them and they drive them. And one's not necessarily better than the other, but the picture that Jesus is painting here is more of a shepherd calling out to the sheep. And they follow him because they recognize his voice. So there are many voices in our world today. Some that sound true or have an element of truth in them. We need to be careful what voices we are listening to in our world today. Even some within Christian circles that would classify themselves as a Christian leader or a teacher. We need to be careful of those voices and be discerning and have those areas that we just discussed a little bit, the commanding scripture, compelling spirit, and counsel of the saints, common sense and circumstantial signs. Need to be aware that there's a lot of noise going on in our world today that comes at us, that distracts us. Much like being a parent at a swimming pool. You ever been a parent at a swimming pool and trying to make out the voice of your child? There is a circumstance much like that for a particular family. And there's screaming. It was a birthday party. And there's a couple that had their child there. And a wife said to the husband, "Shh, just heard our daughter scream." "You did? Really? How in the world could you make that out?" Well, I think women's ears are a little bit more attuned, right, women, than men's, possibly, because you get to know the voice of your child. Anyway, this woman heard that voice and said, oh, I think she's okay. It's a happy scream. It's a happy scream. Must have been going down the slide or something like that at the time. Determining that voice, it is. And how we know our shepherd's voice is to read the manual, to understand when he's speaking, is to read the word. Very simple. But sometimes hard in our day and age, when biblical illiteracy is so high. The recent stats, I think 2016, from the Bible League of Canada, 13% of evangelical Christians read their Bible regularly, and that's once a week. It's very sad to think of that. How do we know the voice if we're not reading, we're not getting into the Word? Just as a mother knows her child, we need to be in constant communication with our Lord and Savior to hear Him, to know what He's all about. Oswald Chambers says this about God's voice. The call of God is not for the special few. It is for everyone. Whether or not I hear God's call depends upon the state of my ears. And what I hear depends upon my disposition. And what I hear depends upon my disposition. Sometimes we can mistake feelings for God. Sometimes those feelings lead us in that direction. Hebrews 13:7 says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Oftentimes that was the rebuke of God to the nation of Israel, is that they heard the voice of God, but they hardened their hearts. We read so many occurrences of that in the Old Testament. The founder of the House of Prayer in Ottawa, Rob Parker, heard his testimony a number of years ago, and he was a ambulance worker in Oman. And his wife, at the time he wasn't a believer, and at the time his wife put a little Gideon New Testament, hid it in his backpack. And so he got to Oman, and he's working there, training ambulance workers. And he that morning he got up. He said, well, I'm going to try to read the Bible, even though I don't really believe what's in here. But, you know, be nice to my wife. So he read it, and he opened it up and fell on this very chapter, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And he didn't think much of it. He thought it was a nice story. Great. He went out into Oman, and actually was out in the country, in a smaller town in that country, and he happened to see a very similar picture to what I showed you at the very beginning. Shepherd. But this was shepherd with many, many different sheep and multiple shepherds. He was fascinated. He looked on for just a few minutes, and basically the same thing that happened during World War I happened to, and Rob Parker experienced the same thing. And he said, it's true. The sheep respond to the shepherd's voice, each individual flock. And through that experience, when he went back to his hotel room, he gave his life to Jesus that very day because of the experience he had of seeing Scripture lived out right in front of him. He heard the shepherd's voice through an experience in his life. He went through that gate. That gate is Jesus Christ. I'm just going to watch a short little video on the gate.
So how do people go to heaven? Well, in answering this very important question, Jesus spoke figuratively about one of these. A sheep pen. So a sheep pen is made up of these stone walls that come together and form a narrow opening. So before evening sets in, the shepherd gets his flock into the protection of a sheep pen, and then he himself serves as the gate to a sheep by sitting or laying in this narrow opening so that nothing can get in and nothing can get out without going through the shepherd.
All right, there we are. Interesting. You see that one sheep when it went into the pen? Just leaping for joy. Remember when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How joyous occasion that was. Your life might have been in a state of upheaval at the time, but the joy that was there. You entered in through the gate. Knew that you're in relationship with Jesus. That he loved you, that he had you in his arms. What a reminder. The joy that can be ours, not just what the moment when we receive Jesus, but every day, to know that he is the gate, that he is there to protect us, to help us, to be that gate. The Amplified Version puts verses 7 through 9 this way. Jesus said again, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep leading to life. All who came before me as false messiahs or self-appointed leaders are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go in and out freely and find pasture, spiritual security. We see gates today serving many purposes. Those of you who are ranchers or farmers, gates are necessary, aren't they? Need to have them in order to keep livestock where they need to go. Heard not too long ago of a farmer around this area who had a bad experience with a gate and got severely injured. Gates can be, if they're not necessarily used properly or just get some crazy wild animals, things can go awry very quickly. We get places when we journey through a gate. Oftentimes, we need gate admission, right? A form of admittance. Probably took notice, of course, there in that video, that in the Middle Eastern way of doing shepherding, there is no gate for the sheep. That shepherd is the gate. The only entrance and exit is through a human shepherd. Jesus laid down his life for us as our good shepherd. Those who came before were thieves, robbers, had false motives, didn't go through the one way, through the gate. It's interesting as we think about this. I had a conversation this week with someone in the town that we talked about going down this direction. The exclusivity of the claim of Jesus Christ that he is the only way to God. For some, those are fighting words in our society today. That Jesus is the only way. But Jesus' claims, his life, and those of the prophets and of the Old Testament coming true in Christ. We've talked about it before. Many of you know the scientific evidence, the mathematical, theoretical probabilities that all came true in Jesus Christ prove that he is who he says he is. That we can enter into a relationship with him and find eternal life. What a wonderful, joy-filled experience that is. Jesus is the entrance into the family of God. He is our protector. I said before, some may say, well, how can that be that Jesus is the only way? Don't all ways lead to God? No. You can have a great sentiment that way, and you can be very sincere in thinking that all ways lead to God, but sincerely, being sincere can be, you can be sincerely wrong. And for many, that is the case. Jesus is the gateway. He says later on in this same chapter, I come to give life and life more abundantly. What a wonderful claim. He comes to give us eternal life. But that life doesn't just start at the end of our last breath. That life starts now. That life starts now. And for us as Christians, the exclusivity of the claim of Christ being the only way needs to be shown in the life that we live. That there is joy. I'm going to quote the great theologian Gary Johnson. You wouldn't want me calling him that. He prayed a few months ago and it just stuck, I think, in all of our heads. Don't leave Jesus as a bookmark in your Bible. Don't leave Jesus as a bookmark in your Bible. And that's the life that Jesus came to give us. It's not that we just try to find him, and it's good to read your Bible every day, but all the time, we need to be, and sometimes we are, the only Bible people will ever read. Right? As we walk out in this life, this abundant life that Jesus has come to give us. He gives us boldness, gives us strength to walk this out. But we have to be, again, aware of those thieves and robbers. False teachers, we talked about before. False prophets. And the chief, who I would like to call the chief thief, Satan. Satan likes to come to steal, kill, and destroy. To paralyze, to distract us, to discourage us as Christians. We mentioned that before in our Ephesians series. So we need to be aware of him. We need to be taking every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ. We need to be asking God for discernment, for him to help us, to encourage us. Jesus talks about in his prayer for his disciples in John 17, these words that he asked that he protect the disciples. Protect them from the evil one, and don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one, and sanctify them. By what? By the truth. By the truth of his word. So we need to be aware of these things. Taking this passage in John 10 in context of the entire Gospel of John and also in the entire Gospel narrative, we see here the verses before Jesus talking about spiritual blindness and healing the man born blind. And he just got finished rebuking the Pharisees for being blind. Sometimes we can get very comfortable in the sheep pen, can't we? We can get very comfortable just being here, being around others, and that's good. We can often get self-focused, just wanting to stay here, and the sheep pen being the church. Some have said that we are not just saved from something, but we're saved for something. Did you hear that? Not just saved from something. Jesus did save us from sin, but he saved us for something, and that's to live out the abundant life that he's given to us. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We walk out this life. This place that we call the church building needs to operate. Not, you know, Jesus says here in John 10, they come in and go out and find pasture. Come in and go out and find pasture. So there's that metaphor of freedom, of choice, of what God has chosen for us to do. We don't just come in and find shelter, which is good at times. We need to do that. But sometimes if we stay there, it's like staying at an airport. Any of you ever had to stay at an airport longer than you wanted to? I'm sure a lot of us. I've had that occurrence as well. And you're there, and you're there, and you're like, I just want to get on the airplane. Let me out of here. And it's interesting, over the years, airports used to be places that were, you know, you just go in and go out. There wasn't much there, just kind of a gate and some seats. Now they have Tim Hortons, and now they have Subway, and now they have shopping malls almost in every airport. Makes you almost want to go to the airport just to go shopping, which I would not want to do. Thank you very much. But I say that in order to say that the church, yes, we need to be attractive, but this place needs to be like an airport. And that each of us go out. We don't stay here. We go out into the world and help others to find that same abundant life that we have in Christ. That same gate that we went through that is Jesus Christ. South Africa and in South Korea and many other countries now, there's places. Some of you have seen this movie, The Dropbox, or in particularly South Africa has a place in Johannesburg that's called the Door of Hope, where women who have had pregnancies that are unwanted take their babies and they open the Door of Hope and they place their baby into the hands of one who can care for it, can help, can bring life. Particularly in Johannesburg, the first year that they advertised this, there was over 100 babies dropped off, and the Door of Hope was opened 100 times. There's many people searching, as we all know, for that Door of Hope in their life. And they open many doors and oftentimes find things that are false, things that leave them empty. They go to those doors because voices tell them to go through those doors. Maybe it's the door of addiction, the door of whatever it may be that distracts, and they're trying to find fulfillment through that. But we have a door of hope. We have a gate that we can go through that leads to salvation and abundant life. As we put our faith and trust in Christ, and as we ask Jesus each and every day to help us, He will renew our purpose. He will give us the provision that we need and the protection. He is the one who lays down His life. He is the one who lays down His life for us. And He asks us to do the same. To be that gate that leads others to Christ, to Him. Psalm 24, once again for us, as we close our service. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being that gate. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we walk out this week to ask and seek ways that we can be a gate, a gateway for others to see You in us, to come to You, to be a part of that in our own lives. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have come as a gate, and that You would help us to hear Your voice through Your word, through the promptings of Your Holy Spirit, to be able to go to the people that maybe we've been praying for, or those you have for us in this town to be able to see many come past that gate and into relationship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being that entrance into the family of God, and that pray for encouragement for each and every one of us, for our minds and our hearts to be attuned to what you have for us this week. Open our hearts to those around us. Help us to be sensitive to your leading and your guiding as we move through this week so that others may enter in. We pray this in Jesus' name.